It's not a Christmas tree. Okay? But this tree did come out of this box. So I guess if I had read the instructions, it's supposed to be a Christmas tree, right? It took me about 35 minutes to put this thing together and get all of the branches spread apart and make it look like this thing that when everybody came in, they assumed, oh, Barry built a Christmas tree. Yeah, I did build a Christmas tree. But I must admit, even though the poem says the smartest man will ever be, only God can make a tree, I did a pretty awesome job, right? I mean, everybody got the fact this was a tree. But here's the thing. This tree, it's only good for in the building. Think about it for a second. If I took this tree and I took it outside and I sat it out there in the grassy spot right there in front of the church, I have committed to a new ministry. Every 5 minutes when a good wind blows, I'm going out to set this tree back up because it has no roots. Therefore, it can't stand. But let's just say I got creative because I'm a pretty smart person and I worked up some kind of an anchoring system to anchor that tree to the ground. It still ain't going to last because eventually the wind is going to blow all these little needles here. You don't want to know how many times I had to run the electric vacuum to get all these little needles off the floor when I finished putting this thing together. Because as it goes, all these needles are going to get blown off. And as it goes and the rain falls, all of the little wires that are holding these things together, they're going to start to rust. You see, this thing is only designed to live in a building, not outside the building. Do you know why it can only live in a building? Because even though it looks like a tree, it's fake. It's not a real tree. Now, that's a fake tree. That's not. If you know where my house is and you've ridden by my house, you recognize that tree. It is the tree that sits in our front yard right at the corner of our house. And I got to tell you something. Me and this tree have about a 12-year relationship because that's when we bought the house. I didn't plant it. The builder of the house planted it. There's a good analogy in that one. The builder planted it, but that doesn't mean I just let it do what it wanted it to do. I cared for this tree. As the tree was little and it was only 4 foot tall, I would go out and I'd take a string of lights and wrap it around that tree sometime in December and look at it and go, oh, isn't that nice? Yeah, I don't do that anymore. It's a little too big for that. But when it was little, I would soak the ground around it and pack the roots with pine mulch, just like my mommy taught me, to protect the roots of the tree so that it would grow. I cared for this tree. I would get out there with my little fork and I would rake the ground whenever I saw a weed around it, and I would pull that up and I made sure that nothing got to the roots because I care about this tree. I also protected this tree. It got infested with these little things they call a bagworm. And they got all in the tree. And so I did the research. I went on Google to figure out what these things were. And I went to Lowe's and bought the spray. And I got out in the yard at night because you can't treat it during the day. So my neighbors thought I was kind of crazy out there with a hose spraying this tree down because I protected this tree. So obviously, I have a relationship with the tree. But you see how nice it's shaped? Here's what I want you to know. I did that too. Now, it kind of helps. They're made to grow that way. But when this tree was little, I went to Lowe's and bought me another device. It looks like this. And I would go out when that tree was little and I'd shave a little bit here, and I'd shave a little bit there, and I'd make sure I keep the bottom kind of fat, and I'd shave more off the top, and I just kept going, and it kind of looks like the tree got the message, right? Look at it. Now, I am well aware it needs a haircut right now, but you don't shave these things until you get to October, or else you'll hurt them. So, in October, I will be out there with my ladder and my little device, and we will be shaving branches off of a tree, because I care about this tree. But as I look at this tree, I have this very haunting question. Where are the baby trees? If you look up this species of tree on Google, when they get to around 3 to 5 years old, this tree is supposed to start reproducing trees. So this tree is 12 years old. Therefore, by natural sense, then there should be either little baby trees or little sap. There should be something around this tree that is a reproduction of that tree, correct? I'm doing my math right. 12 years old, that's higher than 3 to 5. But I really don't have to ask where the baby trees are. I know where they are. I killed them. What? Stick with me here. You see, because as I took my little device and I shaped my tree, I literally began to cut off the parts of the tree that it needed to reproduce. So in my shaping of the tree, I removed this natural ability to do what God wanted it to do, which was make more trees. Aw, it's kind of sad for the poor tree, don't you think? But then as I continue to stare at that shape, I'm thinking, that shape looks familiar to me. I mean, it's kind of fat at the bottom. And as it gets taller, it begins to get narrow. And as I see that building, I know what that building is, right? It's a church building. It's not a church. It's a church building. And I specifically want to talk about our church. Parkview Christian Church, 333 Churchville Avenue, right here in Stanton, Virginia. And when I think about this church, I want to tell you something. We care about this church. I don't know anybody that calls Parkview Christian Church their home for church or is connected with the church that does not care about the people in this church. I don't doubt it for a second that they care about the people. I mean, after all, we hire staff to take care of the people, right? Minister to the people. That's because they're important. We keep contact with one another. If you don't believe me, you can look at my phone. I have got like probably 150 texts this week from people in the church. And we're a small church. That's a lot of texting, okay? We care about our church. And we protect our church. Sometimes we overprotect it. But we protect our church. I mean, we have an insurance policy that if something happens to this building, it'll get fixed. We spend a lot of time and energy and maintenance on this building to make sure it's safe, right? And beyond that, we spend a lot of time spiritually on the people in our church, making sure there's no false doctrines in our church, making sure that we make sure this church is protected. But you know what? We also shape our church. What? We don't have a device that looks like this. We don't go around to our building and, you know, try to cut it, that would be weird, okay? But we do shape our church. You get the fact that we decide where we're going to meet. This building, another building, no building, online, we are shaping our church. We decide what kind of songs we're going to sing. Are they going to be fast and peppy or traditional? We decide what's acceptable church attire to wear. We decide furniture in the church. Do we use round tables or rectangle tables? Do we use a pulpit or no pulpit? Do we do pews or do we do chairs? We are deciding all of that. And here's what I want you to understand. None of that's in the Bible. We're not talking about biblical issues here. We're talking about we are shaping our church by our preferences. And that doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing. I mean, we've got to have some kind of structure and order. So having preferences, that's okay. But as I began to look at the church, I got that same nagging feeling that I get about my tree. Where are the babies? Now, I'm not talking about filling the nursery. Okay, by the way, I have made my nursery contributions. I am all done making nursery contributions, all right? So I am not talking about filling the nursery. I'm not even talking about youth or kids. When I say, where are the babies? My question is, where are the new disciples? So when I look at a church and I don't see ongoing constant, not just occasional. I don't see ongoing reproduction. We're not making new disciples. Then I have to ask the same question of the tree. Is the way that I'm shaping my church preventing it from doing what God naturally designed it to do? Make disciples. So with that, would you please turn to Matthew chapter 28, and this is what we read. This is the disciple maker. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we talked about this last week. What is a disciple? So I want to refine the definition just a little bit more because I gave you kind of a generic definition last week. A disciple of Jesus is what we're really talking about. Is one that follows Jesus with the intent to help others follow Jesus. Therefore, make no mistake about it. A disciple of Jesus is also a disciple maker for Jesus. You can't separate the two. You can't say, "I am a disciple, but I do not wish to be a disciple maker." The second you stop being a disciple maker, you know what you've become. A fake tree or a shaped tree. But you're not a disciple. You cannot show me one place in Scripture where there was a disciple of Jesus that was not all about making disciples. And to keep this really simple, Jesus only used three verbs to define how you make a disciple. Go, baptize, and teach. Now, I want to make sure you hear that. Because guess what? I am supposed to go. I am supposed to baptize. I am supposed to teach. And when I say I don't mean I, the preacher, or I, a minister, or I, a paid staff person of a church. I'm talking about the I is I, as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Jesus, am supposed to go, baptize, and teach. But in our shaping of the tree, we've changed the mission. And we've changed the mission because, believe it or not, intentionally or not, we have changed the verbs. And I want to make sure you hear it. I am not saying you changed the verbs or my grandma changed the verbs or my parents changed the verbs. We changed the verbs. And in changing the verbs, well, go becomes come. See, when I say the word outreach, most of us associate it with the action of inviting people to the building to attend a worship service. Isn't that what we do? We're going to have an outreach project. And we usually print something and we go out and we invite people to come to church. In that, we put up a building and we advertise, "Come to us." Okay. So we have changed the verbs. But notice we've done something. They can only come at certain times. Folks, this ain't no 7-Eleven. We aren't open 24/7. So that means if you're going to come to us, you've got to pick a spot when I'm going to be here for you to come to me, right? And you know what? Since in my mind I got this picture of what I want my tree to look like, they can only come a certain way. They got to put on the right clothes, and they've got to put on the right personality and the right smile and have the right doctrine and the right answers to the question. They've got to come a certain way if they're going to come to us, right? Because let me tell you something. You ain't coming in here messing up my tree. I have worked hard at shaping this tree over the years. And the last thing I want is somebody just walking in off the street and upsetting my tree. And here's what that does. That means before I can come to Jesus, I have to figure out how to come to church. Yeah, I see people, How many people think that makes sense? I got to figure out how to come to church before I can come to Jesus? Does that sound like go to you? That doesn't. There seems to be something wrong with that, because when we do this, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But you understand, that means the worship service becomes the entry point. Oh. So, wait a minute. The entry point to me finding Jesus is to come and worship Jesus? Does that make sense to anybody? That's the way I'm supposed to find Jesus, is to come and worship Jesus? Keep in mind, that puts us in the church in a really great place, because he's the gate, but we get to become the gatekeeper. And please note, a gatekeeper doesn't let people in. What is a gatekeeper supposed to do? Keep people out. That means we keep out the riffraff and those that come that don't fit the tree? Nope. You see, we understand he is the good shepherd, but ultimately in this come mentality, we decide who is and who is not a shepherd. And since we control the access, then we decide who will become a sheep. I meant to say who isn't a sheep, but we decide who is going to become a sheep. Wow, that's a whole lot of power. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. We do want you to invite people to come to church. But I want to make sure you hear it. When you invite people to come to church, it should not be the focus of our outreach. It should be the side effect of our mission. See, we've gotten it backwards. And in our message, we go from go to come, we change the second word. We go from baptize to learn. And I know where I'm standing, and these are fighting words, and I am not saying we don't preach and teach baptism in this church. But I want you to think about it for a second. When Jesus taught it, baptism was the connecting point to Jesus. Go ahead, read through the New Testament. You can't find it if it ain't there. Because guess what? Every time you saw somebody making connection with Jesus, baptism was somewhere in the near vicinity. I don't care whether it was like, it was right there around it. You just could not do one without the other. But in our new improved model, when somebody new comes, our methodology is to get them into a class, not a relationship. Isn't that how we do church? You start coming to worship, and if you attended worship for at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, you know, and you're pretty consistent, then that thing's going to happen, and somebody's going to come up to you and say, I have a class. Would you not like to join my group? It's the next step. You're laughing because this is how it works. You know, come and learn, and most of what we teach is not about finding Jesus, but about living for Jesus. Which, guess what? We get to define, therefore we use that to shape our church. Doesn't this sound crazy? We're not preaching baptism. We're not preaching connect to Jesus. We're preaching learn about Jesus. That's not the same thing, is it? Or have I missed it? So when I get them to come and I get them to learn, well, I guess that sort of makes sense, because we're teaching things that are designed for people in the church. And since I want you to be a people in my church, I don't have to worry about baptism as much. I just have to worry about making sure you know the answers to the test, right? And then guess what I've done? I can call you a disciple. Look at what I did. I shaped another tree. Isn't that cool? But here's the problem. When we change baptism to learn, what that means is for the person that does come, they don't get a direct path to Jesus. Do you understand what happens? They kind of have to wander around and wade through a bit of churchdom. And maybe after they stay here for a little bit, one day they'll ask the right question, or maybe they'll hear a word or two, or they'll find the right moment, and then they actually get a chance to find out what it means to connect to Jesus. Folks, that just kind of sounds messed up. But it gets just a one step kind of weirder because we make another change. We change teach to serve. Now, we sort of have to do that because we move teach up underneath learn at step two, right? So now I've got an empty little bucket here. So we have to have this empty bucket because Jesus had three, so I got to have three. So I got to come up with another one. So I find one that's mentioned all throughout the Bible, this idea of serving. But it wasn't ever mentioned in the commission. Did I miss that? He didn't tell the disciples to go into all the world, baptize them, teach them, and then find them a ministry, right? Maybe he forgot that one? No, he didn't. The problem is since we've rearranged the mission, we've got to stick serve in there, and therefore this is how it now works in a church. The goal becomes keep them coming so we can get them learning, so eventually they can serve, which is usually connected with doing something in the building that will help shape my tree. I mean, grow my church. Isn't this the way church works? You come, you show up long enough, and we ask you to start coming to a class. And then you start coming to class long enough, then we become the world's best job placement service. And we will find you something to do in the church. Because there's always something that needs to be done in the church. And if you get all three, woohoo! Guess what I've made? I've made a disciple. Really? Did I? Is that it? Because in my little message here, in my little methodology here, my idea is just to get them to stay. Now, you get that's going to mean some significant things because that means if they come somewhat on somewhat of a regular basis or they have a history of coming in the past, then we check the disciple box. Oh, yeah, I used to go to that church when I was a little bitty kid. Oh, you must be a disciple. Oh, yeah, my grandma went to that church, and so you must be a disciple. We do this all the time. We decide that if you just have somewhat of a regular attendance, then you're a disciple. Because we want to keep them coming so they count. So if you don't think I've hit the nail on the head here, I'd like to call your attention to the bulletin. What are the only numbers on this bulletin that we care about? Money and attendance. That's the numbers that we post on the back of the bulletin. You know why? Because those are the numbers that are important to us. Because that's how we make disciples. Matter of fact, we may even overlook the idea of connection to Jesus because you know what? It's a complicated thing. You need to know more. You just keep coming and you'll figure it out. Teach them to obey? Well, you know, we don't want to offend them. So we'll just water it down a bit. After all, trees need water, right? So we'll just water it down a bit and tell you what, you just keep coming. We even break our own model and we don't want to get people, you know, we don't want to overwork people. So we go away from serve and we tell them to just keep coming. And then the weirdness happens. Come to church? Well, occasionally. I mean, we can't really expect people to rearrange their entire life to be here every single Sunday. People are busy these days. There's a lot of things on your schedule. So if you just come occasionally, as long as you're coming, you're a disciple. And when the numbers go up, when we can count more people sitting in the seats, then we give ourselves a little pat on the back. We have grown in making disciples. Am I close? Is this not churchdom as we know it? Unfortunately, those growth measurements are fatter and taller. That means the tree got bigger. Just so you know, my tree in the front yard has no growth problems. It is four times as tall as it was when I started working on it, and its mass is about five times bigger. It has grown immensely to the fact that I can no longer stand on the ground and trim it. I have to do the thing that I hate most, and that's haul a ladder out to go get it. So that just means I didn't make more trees. I just made more tree for me to take care of, which means since I have more tree to take care of, I have less time to worry about baby trees, right? Because I got to keep this one in shape. It does not mean more baby trees. It just means more tree. More and more tree. Let's figure out how do we get more people to sit in the building because we want more tree, more tree, more tree, more tree, more tree. And we stop asking the question about what happened to the baby trees. Isn't that sad? Because that was the mission of the church, right? To go and make disciples. Baby trees. And that's how we know we've made the change. Because there are no baby trees in a church that has decided to be a come, learn, and serve church. You may occasionally get somebody that accepts Christ. Occasionally. It reminds me of that old saying, even a broken clock is right twice a day, folks. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut. I'm not saying you never see anything, but we don't see consistent making of baby trees. But you know, that's not even the biggest problem we got here. Because I really want you to see what our model has done to disciple making. See, in the Jesus model, I go. But in our model, you come. In the Jesus model, I baptize. In our model, you must learn. In the Jesus model, I teach. In our model, you serve. In the Jesus model, the disciples are responsible for making disciples. In our model, the unbelievers are responsible for becoming disciples. Oh, my goodness. Do you see it? It's your responsibility to get yourself out the bed and come here on Sunday morning and sit in my pew and listen to this. And by the way, if you don't, I'm going to lecture you about why you need to come here. It's your responsibility to get into a class and learn more about Jesus so that you can become a follower of Christ. And if you don't, I'm going to label you as an unbeliever, somebody that's not committed to God. It's your responsibility to find a mission in the, find a service project in the church and do your part. I don't remember Jesus ever saying that. That wasn't his message. So, in our process here and in our thinking, we put it all on the unbeliever to figure it all out on their own. And if you haven't noticed yet, they don't. You know why? Because that's not the mission. The mission was not come, serve, come, learn, serve. It was go, baptize, teach. And what really becomes cool for me, the disciple, is that all I then have to do is I just have to sit here in this building and shape my tree. Right? Yeah, I don't like the way that song went. Zip! Out the door it goes. Well, I don't like the way that dress looked. Out the door goes. And we just keep cutting, and we keep cutting, and we keep cutting. Because all I want to do is shape my tree. And here's the thing I want to know. Why did we change the mission? Jesus made it perfectly clear, right? He didn't leave a lot of wiggle room in this. He said, you were to go, you were to baptize, and you were to teach. He was not talking to an organization. He was talking to individuals. And he said, this is your job, your mission, your purpose is to go teach, to go baptize and teach. So where do we come in to say, I don't like that mission? And the more I bike up and down my road and I ride past that great big tree in my front yard and I kept looking at that tree and I kept looking at that tree and I'm thinking about this book I'm reading and I'm thinking about these sermons I'm writing, it dawned on me why we changed the mission. Because we want a tree for me. Isn't that the goal? I want to build a church where I am comfortable coming, where I am comfortable learning, and where I am comfortable serving, and you know what? Hang the rest of it, because this tree is for me. This is my tree. This is what I did. Who made that tree? God. But who has spent all the time working on that tree? So whose tree is it? Is it God's tree or my tree? I see it as my tree. And therefore, since it's my tree, I am entitled to do with it what I wish to do with it, right? Because I have made a tree for me. Now, I want you to see something. I'm not going too far, Matt, so you don't have to move the camera. I showed you at the beginning of the sermon the fake tree. And now you see the tree for me, and I want to tell you something. The tree for me is more dangerous than the fake tree. Because if I look at that fake tree long enough, I will be able to determine it's a fake. The needles don't feel right. I can look underneath. There's no roots. It doesn't get any bigger. The branches come off. And eventually I can stuff it all back in that box. Because it's a fake. And people can look at that and see. Is anybody here that thought that was a real tree this morning? Yeah, I don't think so. But this one in my front yard, you look at that and you can say, man, that's a real tree. That's a real growing tree. That must be how you be a tree. No, that's not how you be a tree. That's how you be a tree for me. Because now you're in my front yard, and you're going to live by my rules, and you're going to do the things that I want you to do. Because if you want to be part of my tree, then you've got to get yourself in shape. And I just want to let you know something. Jesus did not commission a fake tree. And Jesus did not commission a shaped tree. Jesus commissioned a self-perpetuating forest for him. He commissioned, go make baby trees, not shaped trees. We look at people often and we say, well, why don't you want to come to church? We forget the idea it was our responsibility not to get them to come to church. Make a disciple. Well, I don't know how to make a disciple. I got good news for you. We're going to spend the next three weeks talking about and helping you understand how do you make a disciple. But I'm going to give you a big hint. It starts with three little words. Do you know what the words are? Go, baptize, teach. That's what the church was supposed to do. But unfortunately, we have chosen not to do that. Unfortunately, we've boiled it down to come, learn, and serve. And you know, usually when a church takes this turn for discipleship, we start reshaping our tree. Yeah, we got to get a different kind of lesson here. I'm not interested in more lessons. I'm interested in doing. And I got to tell you something. I'm not 100% sure what this is going to look like when we're all done reshaping and unshaping our tree and getting back to the business of making forests. But maybe the fact that I don't know 100% where I'm supposed to be going is exactly where God wants me to go, because now he's kind of like, use your imagination a little bit, Barry. Envision a world where you're not shaping trees, you're making trees through reproducing yourself. Therefore, if I'm going to be a disciple maker, then I have to be willing to be a forest maker, not a tree shaper.